If you will, now turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles 26. I had a gentleman email me this week, had a question, a very simple question about this passage, and as I began to answer him, the Lord just opened the scripture up to me, and I knew this morning this is what my message should be. And I pray the Lord sends it, and I pray that it's a blessing to you. But 2 Chronicles 26, if we approach God without a mediator, without a go-between, without a representative, it is death. We will perish. I want to start off today by giving you a quick story, something I experienced. And I hope it'll get our attention. Years ago, I was a teenager, and I was on the volunteer fire department. And I didn't have my pager yet, so they would let me know when the fires went. So I went and bought a scanner, a police scanner, and I had the channels for the fire department programmed in there, and I would know when to go on these fire calls. And I ended up getting pulled over by a state trooper. And he heard that scanner go off, and he took it. And I had to go to court. Well, in our county, there's two judges. And one of the judges is very kind. He's the next-door neighbor to my parents. And I just assumed it would be him. So I went to court, and it wasn't him. It was the other judge, the mean judge, the stern one. And he said, "How do you plead?" And I kind of smiled, and I said, "Well, guilty, you have the evidence." And immediately, he said, "This is not a laughing matter, son. I could put you in jail. You want to spend 6 months in jail?" And at that moment, I realized I didn't have a representative in that court. I was facing the judge alone. And from that day forth, I don't want to go to a court without a judge. I don't want to approach the throne of judgment without a mediator. I was taught this. So I hope that'll keep our attention today. And this text we're going to look at is a story of a king, as a great king, as far as men's considered. He was well liked and well blessed on this earth, and he did a lot for the furtherance of the gospel, for the building of the working on the temple, keeping the Levites fed and provided for. All these wonderful things he did, and they all prospered. He's very successful in it. But he came to this temple one day, and he sacrificed incense to the Lord. He brought incense there without a priest. The high priest didn't take it in for him. He went in himself. He went without a mediator. Now, to approach God without a priest, without a mediator, without a go-between, you'll perish. I am not a priest. There are no priests in this day according to the Scripture. I'm a preacher. So what my job is not to be the middleman, but I tell you who the middleman is. I tell you who the representative is, who that mediator is. That's my job. So who's this high priest that I'm talking about? Who's this one that enters that holiest of holies on our behalf? This makes a sacrifice for God, and he's not consumed. He doesn't die from it. Who is that? Christ is our high priest. The Hebrew writer said, "Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed unto the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's been touched with what we've been touched with, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, only one, the man, Christ Jesus." Now what happens when we come to God on our own? What happens when we approach His throne without a high priest, without a mediator between God and man? There in 2 Chronicles 26, we'll begin in verse 1. "Then all the people of Judea took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth as a great port city and restored it to Judah after that the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecolah of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to that all his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now, Uzziah was 16 when he was made king, and the first act he did was to retake and rebuild this port city. This was a great benefit to the nation. It's a great help to the people. He was gaining the respect of the people. He was helping them from the very beginning of his reign. He started off on a good foot. And it says there in verse 4, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He was providing for Judah, and he was looking after them the right way. That's right, isn't it? He was doing the responsible thing. He was being a good steward, just like his father did. He learned from his father. We read in chapter 25 that Amaziah, Uzziah's father, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but it says he did not have a pure heart. He didn't have a new heart in him. He killed the men that slew his father, but he spared their children. Why would he do that? Because that was what the law of Moses said. He followed the law to a T. He was diligent on that. He established his kingdom in an orderly fashion. Those things are right. Those things are right to do. However, he did not bow to God. He was never given a new heart, and he ended up bowing to those idol gods that he had, the nations he had defeated. He went in and took their idols, and then he bowed to those. Uzziah went a step further in this obedience. He didn't just act as a good king. He didn't just take good care and be a good steward of Judea. It says there in verse 5, Uzziah sought God through God's prophet. He had a motivation to learn about the Lord. And as long as he sought the Lord blessed him. He prospered. Many people seek after knowledge. Many people seek after knowledge in these scriptures. The Lord said, in them you think you have life. But they're just looking to the word only. They're just looking to the book only. And oftentimes they'll find worldly wisdom. That'll happen. The scriptures to these people are a guidebook to living. This is an instruction manual to most people. Now on this earth, this is true. There are many practical things we can learn from the scriptures. Worldly things we can learn from the scriptures. There'll be some earthly practical benefit from that while we're here. But only on this earth. There's one man that he has great knowledge of this on finances. Great knowledge of the scripture when it comes to finances and the things we should and shouldn't do. And those things are true. We shouldn't have debt to everybody all over town. We should pay our bills in a timely fashion. And those things, if you do that, you'll have benefit. You have benefit on this earth. You won't be in debt. And you may have some gains. But the things of this earth, they all perish and they fade away. We need to concern ourselves on things above, don't we? John wrote this, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, the desire of it, passes away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Paul told the Colossians, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on this earth. That's good advice. That's better advice than keeping your financial house in order. Seek Christ. Seek things that are above. So here's some current benefits, some earthly practical benefits that Uzziah gained. He sought the wisdom through that prophet, but we'll see he only received worldly wisdom. He only received earthly benefit while he was here on this earth. And the Lord helped him through that time, through those things. Look here in verse 6. 2 Chronicles 26:6. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneth and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gurbal and the Mahanims. When Uzziah sought the Lord, he was blessed, and he knew he was blessed. His armies knew that he was blessed, and the Ammonites knew that he was blessed. Look here in verse 8. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. He strengthened himself exceedingly. That praise that came from these men was to a man. It was praise from a man to a man. And they didn't praise God for that strength and that ability that was given. They praised Uzziah. They didn't spread the name of God throughout the land, all the way to Egypt. they spread the name of Uzziah. He was a popular leader. They told people about it, and they praised him. You see trouble brewing here? You see a problem starting? What did Uzziah do? Did he rent in sackcloth and ashes? No, he kept building and prospering, didn't he? Look here in verse 9. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. Also, he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Now, what's this a picture of? There's probably a couple messages we could get from these two verses. But Uzziah building these vineyards and digging these wells in the desert. He was provided all those wells, breeding this livestock. That was like money in those days. Building these walls. Worldly, he's making defenses for the city. He was securing food and wealth for his nation. Those are good things. But spiritually, this is a picture of Uzziah building the church. Helping the priesthood. Furthering the gospel there in that time. These walls and towers are pictures of local assemblies where God puts his preachers. Isaiah 62 says, I have set watchmen upon thy walls of Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent, and give him no rest till he establishes it, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Uzziah made places for that gospel to be spread. He protected those that spread the gospel. Am I saying that a person could be very blessed on this earth by God? And he could help to build the church, go to church, seek the wisdom of a prophet, help build it, further the word, seek God through his prophets, and still be without spiritual life? Is that what I'm saying? Could the Lord use scaffolding to build his church, as Brother Mahan used to say? We saw last week about Abraham, our fruits, our works. They are proof of the faith that the Lord gives us. Now, faith without works is dead, the scriptures tell us, but works without faith, they're dead works. It doesn't do you any good if the Lord hasn't given you faith to do them. Romans 3:20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, by the doing, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. So if my works don't save me, if I'm not given spiritual life by doing these good things, by helping the church, help my community, helping my nation, donating to a faithful ministry, helping my brethren, if those things don't give me spiritual life, what do I do? What can I do? If those things don't save me, the only place I have to look is Christ, my high priest. That's the only hope I have. I must seek a mediator. I have to find a substitute. I can't do it on my own. Someone has to do it for me, and that's Christ. Going through the motions of serving Christ and worshiping him will do you no good. We got to be given that new spirit. We have to be given faith. We must be born again so we can worship him in spirit and in truth. Christ told us God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He must give us that new spirit, and in faith that new man has in us, it will have a desire to build those churches. It will have a desire to build those walls, dig those wells in the desert, further the gospel, because it knows that good news we've received, that's what others need to receive. If the Lord's been gracious to me to tell me this gospel, to show me what Christ has done for me, my desire is to tell other people that. I want them to know. But we see here Uzziah received some recognition in these battles. He received great wealth to build so many things for his nation and that church. And then he was given more power and more might. In verse 11 through 15, we see he had a great army under him. It was thousands and thousands of men. I think it was 316,000 men is what he had under him. He took great care of them too. He was a good steward of those he was in charge of. Look here at verse 14. It says, and Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergons, that's body armor, chainmail, and bows and slings to cast stones. Now he provided for these soldiers. He equipped them properly. Now as a former soldier, I can tell you, when you receive good equipment, You receive quality equipment. You appreciate those that give it to you. You're thankful for that. You respect them. You respect the leader that does that. But Uzziah provided all this physical armor, these physical means, physical weapons, but he never mentioned to these men, never told them to carry the shield of faith, never told them to wield that sword of the Spirit, put on that breastplate of Christ's righteousness, put on the helmet of salvation. He was never concerned about these things, concerned about worldly things. And he had the brightest men working for his army, developing new equipment. Look there in verse 15. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men. Who made these men cunning? Who made them to differ? The Lord gave them that knowledge, didn't he? To be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. Those are crossbows and catapults. That's when these were invented, by 800 B.C. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Now he's built his army up. Got some sophisticated weapons, and he's strong. This king's life had led up to this point. Almighty God, physically and earthly, in this world, had blessed him greatly. Gave him great strength and might, possessions and armies. And now he's given him power. He's given him strength. As far as men go, he's considered to be a strong king. And all around him, they all thought he was mighty. They saw all these things. I would think he was mighty too, wouldn't you? Winning these battles and having all these things. But he'd been lifted up. And they also praised him and lifted him up. All these people around us. All around him. And this is a dangerous place to be in. Wealth and power can be a greater hindrance than it can be a benefit. Satan was more likely to give you things than he is to take things away from you. To turn your heart from Christ. He's more likely to give you things. And it's easy to criticize our president. But I wouldn't want that job. Would you? They all look a lot older when they come out of there, don't they? That's a hard job. Would you truly want one of your children to be president? Would you want that burden placed on them or that power? The burden of the power placed on them, just in a worldly sense. That's a great temptation, worldly, much less spiritually. Think of how hard that would pull at them. Take their attention away from this gospel. Take their eyes off of Christ. If that doesn't hit home enough for you, would you want your teenage son or daughter to become an overnight millionaire? Would you want them to be just smothered in riches? We can see how dangerous that would be worldly, don't we? That's plain to us parents. We can see those things, or our friends that are that age. But think of what the draw that would have on their hearts. The draw that would take them from the sound of the gospel. So what effect did this have on Uzziah? How'd this affect him? Look there in verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to destruction. He was lifted up to destruction. Have you ever said in your mind, well, that's just Uzziah. I wouldn't do that. Give me that money. Give me that power. I could do a good job. I'd resist the devil. I'd keep looking to Christ. King Solomon was the wisest son of Adam that ever walked this earth. He was the wisest man that ever walked the earth. And here's what he said, Proverbs 16. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Uzziah was lifted up in pride, both in those around him and in himself. And he was strong. He had a haughty spirit just before he fell. Just before he fell. Look there in verse 16 again. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Now, Uzziah approached the Lord without a priest. He approached that holiest of holies without a mediator, someone between him and God. That was the high priest business. They entered the holiest of holies. King or no king, there was no one that could enter that except the man that God appointed. The Father met with his people there. And there could only be one mediator. There's one high priest. There's one person that represented the people in that tabernacle. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Every year these priests in the Old Testament, they had to enter the tabernacle to make an offering for sin. Every year. And the entire tabernacle was a picture of Christ. All of it. It was completely pointed to the Savior. Every rope, every fastener, every curtain, every table, every candlestick, everything. It was a picture of that Messiah that was to come. That's what it pictured. Now, Hebrews 9 verse 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That priest in the Old Testament had to go all the time. He'd continually go. Christ entered in that holiest of holies once. He didn't bring the blood of calves and goats. He didn't bring incense. He was that sweet-smelling savor. He brought his blood, and he attained eternal redemption for his people. He was successful, completed. And all the Old Testament types and pictures, they were all pointing to that coming Messiah, that coming Savior, Christ the God-man. But blessed be God, he came. Our Christ has come, hasn't he? He entered once for our redemption, and he accomplished the job he was sent to do. He is victorious. So what does that have to do with Uzziah? If it was just a picture, why does it matter? If it was just a shadow of things to come, why is this a big deal? Let's turn back to our text, our 2 Chronicles. And we'll see a difference here, a small illustration of the difference between error and heresy. Sometimes true believers, children of God, they go into deep, deep error, serious error. We're going to see a difference here. Uzziah came to God without Christ. He came without a high priest, without a mediator. He approached the Father without that mediator. And by doing so, he was saying, I don't need a high priest. I don't need Christ to represent me. I can come by myself. I'm strong. I'm wealthy. I'm powerful. I can come to the Lord. I don't need anybody to come for me. And in this, he was in great error. If he's the Lord's, he's in great error. But what he did was so terribly wrong. But it was an error because punishment hadn't come yet. He hadn't been punished yet. Something else is going to happen. We'll look there in verse 17. 2 Chronicles 26, 17. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, as 80 men. And it says they're valiant men. Why were they valiant? What would make these 80 men going in with him into the temple strong? Brave. They were standing up to a strong king. This was a powerful, mighty king, and as men are concerned, and they were standing up to him. This was a time to fight against their leader, against their government. He was put over them, but they were standing up for the gospel's sake. That was the time to fight. Verse 18 says, And they withstood Uzziah the king and said to him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. You don't have any business doing this, and you know that. From a young age, you've been seeking knowledge from here. You know the rules. You know this isn't your job. This is the priest's job. And it says, Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. This man was in great error, and he was admonished by the Lord's prophets. God sent his preachers in there to correct this. He was in grave error, and he was warned. He was warned plainly, and he was warned clearly and immediately. These men come to him. They chased him in there. But what was the result? What did Uzziah have that was in him? Did he have a new heart? Was it broken and contrite? Was he humbled before the Lord? Seeing that he was in error, and then he bowed to Christ? Or was it heresy? Look here in verse 19. Then Uzziah was wroth, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. That king didn't bow to the word of God. He didn't bow to God's messengers. He didn't submit to them as they'd been instructed. He got mad, and he didn't even let go of that censer. He was in the holy place. Someone snuck up behind him, a group of 80 men, and yelled at him. And it didn't scare him. He didn't let go of that censer. He held on to it, and he got mad. There's someone else that went to do an offering one time, and they got mad. Do you remember that? Cain brought an offering to the Lord. He brought those fruits of the ground, and the Lord wasn't pleased with it. Didn't say he wasn't pleased with Cain. He wasn't pleased with his offering. Now, he'd been instructed different. His pastor at the time was his father Adam. He's the one that told him to have these sacrifices and told him why and how to do it. But the Lord wasn't satisfied, didn't accept his sacrifice. But did Cain have a repentant heart? Did he have a broken, contrite spirit? Did he come begging, Lord, what will you have me to do? No, he got mad. He was so mad he killed his brother, didn't he? He became wroth. He didn't have that new heart in him that loved. God didn't let this heresy come and go that Uzziah committed. He addressed it immediately. Look here in verse 19. Then Uzziah was wroth, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. Another word hadn't been spoken. They said, you're not allowed in here. What you're doing is wrong. Knock it off. Stop immediately. Get out of here. This isn't your business. And he got mad. And as he got mad, leprosy began on his forehead. And they saw it. He felt it and saw it too. It says in verse 20, and Azariah, the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Now they were mad at him. Were they just picking on him? Had Uzziah learned anything? Read on. It says, yea, himself hasted also to go out because the Lord had smitten him. Uzziah knew immediately that the Lord had done this. He knew what he had done wrong now, didn't he? It's too late to heed that word from those priests, from those men of God. Today, your salvation is today. Do you heed the word of the Lord? You need a mediator. Verse 21 says, and Uzziah the king was a leper until the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper. A several house is a separate house. He wasn't in the king's mansion anymore. Went from such great wealth and great power, great knowledge, great armies, and he was living in a separate house, out in the servant's house. Uzziah came to the Lord God Almighty without a mediator. He approached God standing on his own strength, not on Christ's strength. He came in his own worthiness, not in Christ's worthiness. He came on what he had accomplished, not on what Christ had accomplished already. I ask you, do you come to the Lord on your righteousness? Do you come to the Lord with that incense in your hand? Or do you look for a mediator? Do you look for a high priest, a substitute? Someone to face that judge in your name? If you don't, you'll perish. Now, this man Uzziah, he was used so greatly. He built Judah's economy. He took care of those priests. He won so many battles against other armies. Was he only used for that time? Why would the Lord have this story in the Scriptures for us? Is this something for us to look down our noses at and say, well, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't act that way. Or did he do it to teach his children? He did the same with Pharaoh, didn't he? Raised Pharaoh up, did all those things in Egypt, all those plagues. And he said, I've raised you up to show my power. Declared his purpose to generations to come. This is 2,800 years ago this happened. We're reading it today. Isaiah saw it. Isaiah 6:1 says, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. They say Isaiah and Uzziah were friends. They grew up together from the same time. They clearly knew of one another. But whenever he died, this powerful man, blessed of the Lord, that had went to church. He had sought guidance. When he saw him die, he saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. Saw him high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Do you see the Lord lifted up and man brought down? Are you a powerful king in your own heart as the Lord brought you down and lifted Christ up? You see His majesty, His train behind Him, and our unworthiness? or clothed in rags? Have you had experience with that? If so, what opinion do you have? And what option do you have? You come with your filthy rags? Do we come in our hand, our power? Or do we approach Him with a mediator? We come with Christ. Go to your high priest. Go to Christ. Turn to Him. Turn to Him today. Lean on Him. You need Him. And I promise you, if you lay all your heart, all your cares on Christ, if you believe with all thy heart, as Philip asked that eunuch, you will not be found wanting. He won't let you down. Because He's already accomplished it. It's completed. It's done. It's finished. I pray that was a blessing to you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for Your Word. Lord, thank You for preserving Your words for us, and thank You for giving us the ability to access it. And thank You for the message that's in there. Thank You for tearing down our high places and breaking our hearts and pointing us towards Christ. Lord, keep us always looking to Him. Keep us seeing our need for a mediator. Keep us seeing our need for our high priest. And let us know that He's able. He's fulfilled all. He's victorious. Be with our brethren everywhere, Lord, as they gather in their homes and tune in online and whatever means You've provided for them. Bless their hearts, Lord. Encourage them during this time. And like our faithful brother told us, just like in the Passover, Lord, let us look to the blood on our door and sit quietly in our homes. Peace, knowing that You reign and rule everything. Keep us until we're able to meet again, Lord. It's in Christ's name that we ask it. Amen.